Jack Frimston with your face like a half-remembered dream.
You're very nice, aren't you, as a man?
I'm very nice as a man, but I'm not very nice as a woman. And you'll find that out on today's episode of Transcepts.
Okay, bored of that, actually. Move over. I've got an idea.
Just interrupt it.
Right.
What do you want to talk about today, mate?
I got a shovel, right? And when I see your face, I want to slam it across your face. That's okay. The kind of guy that you are. But I'm not actually going to use my shovel for that. I'm going to use it for digging. But you know what else I can do with it? I can disqualify.
So it's a shovel of dig or disqualify?
A shovel of 2 Ds, as I call it.
That's what I call it. So it sounds like today, Jack, what I'm hearing is we want to talk about when to dig and when to disqualify. Is that correct?
Absolutely, because I hear people when they're cold calling and they take our methodology and like the methodology that we've, I say our methodology, the methodology that we've stolen from various different sources, and they will say things like, okay, sounds like everything's perfect then.
Yeah, everything's perfect.
Cool, bye.
Yeah.
I think disqualification, and I see a lot of people falling into this habit, it's your job to disqualify, right? Okay, the sales rep's job. So qualify, disqualify, that's all you're doing on a daily basis. I see a lot of sales reps, the prospect will be like, yeah, I'm not interested. And they're like, cool, I'll disqualify you then. And they're like, they've made this mindset around they're disqualifying them based on the fact they're not interested. That's not disqualifying, okay? So can you give me an explanation of what you think disqualifying is?
Yeah, disqualifying is when you find out that someone doesn't have a problem or the motivation to fix the problem that you solve. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's a very hard no, like a very final no. I could not help you in any way. I'm with you. I think the issue that I'm hearing at the minute with our team sometimes and with people that we train is there's this thing where a call could start off by saying, look, I think any company experiences that, but look, we're okay as it is at the minute. And people's default line at the minute, I don't know why, is, okay, sounds like everything's perfect. Yeah, I'd say so. Right, see you later then. And they're out the door and they're gone.
It's over.
They've missed the nuance. And the thing to recognize is when you're in that first bit of the call, someone's still in that fight or flight mode, aren't they? So why would they just admit to a stranger they definitely have a problem every time? And if that's what you're looking for, prospecting is going to be a game of only people who are kind of ready to buy with a live problem, who know what you do, are even going to be interested anyway. So you're making things 10 times harder.
Can I tell you a story that you already know?
I thought you'd never ask. Of course you can.
But for the sake of the podcast, you're going to sound interested. So I was on the Sell Better show the other day, and I nearly told this story, and then I thought, you've got to be careful, the audience, they're a bit too clean cut maybe sometimes. Whereas our audience, they don't give a fuck, maybe.
No.
Who knows?
They don't give a rabby stunk.
Exactly. So the story was, we've got a friend. We know that we both know this friend. Well, I think we'd call them a friend. And we went up to him at a party and we said, are you on steroids? He said, no. And then the second time went up to him and said, are you definitely not on steroids? He said, no. And the third time he said, are you definitely not on steroids? He went, yeah, actually I am. Okay. Human beings, buyers are liars. So 3 times we had to ask him to get to the truth. And that is the same when prospecting. It's not to say that don't take people's first answer. But as we saw with the live cold calling show yesterday, you rang someone and said, I've only got a moment to talk. Next thing you know, you're on the phone for 15 minutes. But every conversation that's been, can I ask one last question, and then you ask 20 more questions, it's like you need to stack the odds in your favor and have enough evidence. But I think just remember that not everyone is going to say, do you have any of those problems? No. Does that mean they have any of those problems? No. It just means that why are they going to admit it to a stranger straight away? You've got to build rapport. And don't ask them about the weather. So you tell me now, how do I dig and build rapport, Zach?
Asking great questions and listening, proactively listening. It's not good enough to just actively listen. Yeah, proactively listening, showing that you've heard what they say. I think one of the things is think of it like this, right? So I've put my guard up. I'd say, look, nothing's ever perfect, but I think we're doing okay. That's my wall that I'm built up there. So I'm not going to be able to get through that wall head on now. I'm going to have to find another way around. I can't go back through and fight you on that defense that you've put up. I'm going to have to find another way around. And often the way around is a little something I call situational questioning. So what I do is I put someone in a hypothetical problem where the hypothetical position where the problem does apply. Okay? So that might sound like, what would happen if, how would you deal with, what would happen when? I need permission to ask that question first. Okay? So I'll give you an example. We've got a client who basically makes your business run smoother if you've got lots and lots of different systems in place. Okay? You say, yeah, none of those, I think those problems apply to anyone, but actually I think we're doing okay. Makes sense. Like, I didn't think I'd be able to help you, so I'll welcome it first. Mind if I ask you one last question before I let you go? Yeah, go on. Well, tomorrow morning, if you had to do X, how many different systems would you have to use to make that happen? I'd have to use 5, 6, 8. Okay. And sorry to double down on that. How would those different systems speak to each other? Oh, well, we'd have to take everything off as a spreadsheet and then check it all out and then re-upload it. But not for 8 different systems. Yeah, for 8 different systems. Hold on. So you do that tomorrow, 8 different systems. Then how many times a day are you doing that? Oh, we probably have to do it 10, 20 times. Okay, but is there something that you really like about doing it manually and spending all that time doing that? No, it's really annoying. I don't like it at all. Ah, okay. So you see what I mean? I've gone round. Now we're digging. And through doing that and asking those questions, now I've got to the problem. But I didn't go, okay, you don't have that problem. Bang, see you later. I stayed with it a bit longer to see if I push a bit more, is there anything in it? And I think, you know, whoever that fucking guy is in the comments, Brian3642, I know who you are, as I've tracked your IP. I know exactly who you are on LinkedIn. And just know, if you fucking say it again, I'm coming for you. But that's the difference in like what we do compared to some other people. It's not give up. It's still like disqualify minded. I'm still looking to like push and see, is that a real problem? But selling, real selling, is like therapy. Change only comes when you have to think deeply about a problem. When you think deeply about a problem, you attach an emotion. When you attach an emotion, there's action. That's what I'm looking for. I'm not looking to be a knobhead and say to every single person I speak to, sounds like everything's perfect.
I guess just to echo on that, so one of the phrases I hear batting about with salespeople is they'll ask a question about it. Okay, well, does this happen or does that happen? And a go-to response could be, if I say no, is that the end of the conversation? Do you know how many salespeople I've heard say that and the other person go, yeah, bye?
Yeah.
Whereas as much as negative framing is beautiful, but we don't want to shoot ourselves in the foot. We want to open up conversations. So rather than just answering a question, okay, if I say it does, then what happens? Or what would you want to happen next? And we're opening up that conversation. You've got to be very careful to disqualify.
Exactly.
And you just remember, dig as much as you can. Information. So many people don't even write notes on cold calls, which fucking baffles me because...
Shut up. So
we had...
That can't be true. People don't take notes.
People don't take notes. I saw one bloke proudly brag about it once. I don't use a notepad. Shut up.
What does he use then?
LinkedIn.
Probably. Do you know why I always take notes? Someone bollocked me once when I was about 22 in a sales meeting. I didn't take notes and they went, I don't know how much of this you really like listening to or taking in because you're obviously not taking notes. And that was when it clicked. I really, really use them, but even if you don't, just the look of like I'm listening and writing stuff down shows someone that you're taking things in.
So we had a new starter. We've got a new starter, and I was listening to one of their calls earlier, and they said something like, you'd never be able to help us. We're too bespoke and too niche. Okay. Conversation continues. We've worked with other people in the past and it didn't work. Okay.
What?
Two contradictory pieces of information.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, we could never work with you because we're too niche. But then, like, we've worked with people and it doesn't work. So then you could go down the path of they didn't go down this path. They dig, but you could go down the path if we're talking about digging and disqualification. Okay, so it sounds like you'd never use another agency. No, I wouldn't. Okay, cool. Bye. And that kind of like negative frame question can be useful at the right times. And it's like one last bang on the door, see what I can do. But what you want to do in that situation is you really want to challenge that. Okay, so you said it would never work with you because you're too bespoke and niche. So how come you engage with an agency in the first place? And they might end up telling you that they've realized they were too bespoke and niche, but typically being niche isn't an excuse. But you just want to dig and really clarify everything that somebody says.
You like a metaphor, Jack, don't you?
No.
Is that a different track?
Yeah, you're thinking of that.
I think the way to think of it with the disqualifying piece, like the hard disqualifying, which is the like yes or no answers that I'm looking for, this sounds like everything's perfect kind of frame, is I'm going to ask you a big, broad, deep question, and you build a house made of the problem or the situation that you're in, right? You build a house. I use the disqualifying question to push the house and see does it fall over.
Mm.
Yeah. So I say like, I suppose, yeah, maybe we can't work with you. When you say niche, what do you mean exactly? They explain what niche means. Okay. And then I'm guessing if I said we had worked with companies who do X, Y, and Z, you're probably not interested in having the conversation. But now you've spoke about it. I'm not just going in with like, oh, okay, it sounds like we can't help you. You've had to explain what you do, and then now I've said something. I've pushed the house a little bit. Oh no, it stays up. Now you're interested. Okay.
I don't like you, and I don't like metaphors, but I liked that. I'll say that.
I think that's really kind of you to say that. Can I ask you a question?
No.
Are you a child of divorce?
What? Cool. I feel like digging tonight.
Yeah, I did too. Let's just do a quick mic test before we go. Say cool.
Cool.
Say cool.
Cool.
Say cool.
Cool.
Say cold.
Cold.
Right. So there are some differences. They're not big. And I think that's the aim of the game. The differences aren't big. The cool can be cool and the call can be cool. I've been Zach Thompson.
And I've been his best mate.
See you next time.